listening to London Taxi Radio, the new voice of the London taxi trade.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Sean Paul Day, and we are live here at GSS. This is City Diesel hosting the event. Come on down and at least get a London Taxi Radio sticker. How about that? Don't say we never, don't ever give you anything. I mean, we're falling over ourselves here. I mean, it's absolutely jammed to the rafter, so come down, say hello. We've got a lot on. We'll be talking about Mish Kondaraya again, and it looks like Emma Arbuthnot. She's in the news. She's stepped aside. Maybe she should have stepped aside sooner. Wouldn't that have come down to our representation? We'll be talking about that. And Chris Johnson is in the house. We've already invited my taxi on to talk about the employment claim. No news yet.
On your phone, iPad, and the internet, this is London Taxi Radio.
Broadcasting from a secret location. You're tuned to
London Taxi Radio.
The tariff increase 6 months late. According to TfL, they couldn't be bothered. That's £3 on the flag four. It's going to make front page news, isn't it? At least we got a below inflation rate pay rise on the back end. Uber or TfL? Is Mish Kondaraya going after the right people? Or is it just easy money? Phone line is working, so if my taxi want to give us a call, they're very welcome to. This case seems to go below the radar of everybody's attention, and it is one of the most serious cases that could come to light. We'll be telling you why. And we'll be asking, what is the advice you were given that changed your life forever? It could be a place, it could be a person, it could be a piece of advice. How and why did it change your life? Us lovely listeners, we are live. We're at GSS. We're hosted by City Diesel, and they always give a good price on the fuel tonight, so come on down, come and say hello, and we guarantee you a London Taxi Radio sticker. How about that? Who says we don't give you anything at all? You never know, if you've got something to say and you can avoid swearing, then come on live and have your say. We've got a lot to talk about. Mishkon Daraya, well, the chief magistrate is in the news again, isn't she? She has backed off. She has said that she didn't realise that there was a conflict of interest and decided to back off the future cases. Why was she on the cases in the first place? And why wasn't there some foresight? And why wasn't the chief magistrate, no less, investigated before the trial took place? That was two events. That was TfL licensing and the Reading case. I got to say, calls to retrial in the Reading case might not be a good idea. It was a very poor case, presented very badly. So there is that to consider. Nevertheless, it doesn't take away from the fact there was a conflict of interest. She's backed off of, well, it was of her own volition. No doubt she was advised, but she has backed off. The strange thing about that is that she has appointed the next magistrate for the case. Now, if I had an agenda, now I know jurors of the peace are supposed to be the kind of people that could transcend kind of any kind of conflict. I don't buy that. I don't buy that at all, because she wouldn't have allowed her husband to go claiming in the expenses scandal, would she? So she certainly was a little bit biased there towards her husband's benefiting. So I would say she is not immune from, you know, what could be a tentative link to corruption. She's not immune. And you've got to say, she's backed off. But if she had an agenda, and you've got to look at the conflict of interest with the Qatari group and the $3.5 billion they have invested in Uber Technologies, you have to look at that, don't you? And if she is backed off, then why not appoint another magistrate that would do the deed for you? She's of such learning, she's supposed to be beyond that, isn't she? Can't guarantee it, though, can we? Can't guarantee it. I'm joined, as usual, by LTR's Paul Harris. How you doing, Paul? I'm all right. I think your mic's working. Your dulcet tones, anyway, you sound all right. I think so. How's your week been? It's been a funny old week, hasn't it? It does seem like there's a lot of people on holiday. Now, if I was a bit cleverer, I'd be on holiday as well. You know, obviously something went... Well, now you're big time. Yeah, there's... Well, you don't have the patent on thinking that, do you? I'm not clever enough. Yeah, I guarantee it. So what's happening this week? I haven't seen much of you this week, have I?
Good evening, Sean, and a good evening to all the listeners out there.
Who can't hear you.
Who can't hear me, yeah. I think they've had the right result.
plenty to say. But I think we're doing all right. I think it might be Chris's that's not working now, but we'll see when we get round to him, because you've got to hear what he's got to say, for that matter.
Absolutely.
And I know we've been a bit privileged to it, but nevertheless, there's a lot of content. And opposed to the company or the people who it's about, we don't hear anything from. And I've invited them on to the platform, because that's the in word now, isn't it? Platform. And you know, I can't stand it. Anybody who says platform, I want to strangle
what
them.
What does it really mean? It doesn't mean anything. Industry. It doesn't, does it?
No, it doesn't mean
anything. I thought they were shoes, myself. They were back in the day.
I like the ones you've got on now. They're like sandals on top and platforms on the bottom. I know the type. But yeah, it's a big deal because this transcends that. And it's probably, and I don't think people realise it, but it probably the biggest thing that's going on in our industry at the moment, because it will define our working practices, not just as taxi drivers, because we're just at the coalface at the moment, aren't we? But it'll transcend the taxi trade, and it'll start it in even, you know, that white collar workers. That once they get, you know, affected, then things change. It's when the middle classes get affected, that's when things happen, isn't it? But we're the fodder, you see. We're just the working class. But nevertheless, they've come in, service providers, down there at the bottom, they treat them how they like. And I think that's going to be a problem in the future. It really is going to define how we, as workers, the workforce, the service providers, are impacted on. And it's never going to be favourable for us, is it? So unless we play a part in that, defining our futures, because we've got to be the eulogists of our own destiny, haven't we? We can't let the corporations do it. They will easily do it. And I think that's a real problem for us, not just our industry. So somehow we've got to sell it as we're doing them a favour, because they'll have the platform to sell it that we're just immovable and we're in this horrible position of, you know, where we just want to stay where we are, self-interested, when it's not us that are being self-interested. And I think that's what we'll find we're up against, because they'll have the controlling capacity, they'll have the position to be able to say, right, this is what they're doing. And our voice, as of we've experienced up till recently, won't get heard.
Well, I certainly think it's something that the orgs and the associations need to pay more attention to, Sean, because you're absolutely right. It's if we don't stifle this approach by the these app technology services, then I think we are in serious trouble. And I think, as you may go on to hear from Chris Johnson, we're talking about, you know, are we going to have jobs in the future as well? You're absolutely right. And so that, you know, the regulations are being completely ignored through app technology, and we're becoming more convinced that it is how we work in the future, and we have to recognise that isn't our working room.
Well, the biggest problem I have with this lack of regulation, and I've said it many times, and I don't want to bore the pants off the listeners, but the reason I really hate it is because deregulation wouldn't exist if third-party profiteers wasn't involved. If third-party profiteers, contractors, people who work is contracted out to, so they want to cut down on people's money, cut down on costs because they're answerable to shareholders. Now, if there wasn't shareholders, then you sure as hell know you wouldn't have deregulation. You just wouldn't have it. And the result of deregulation is Grenfell Tower. There you go, bosh. You know, that is third-party profiteers wanting to save on cladding, you know, because the shareholders saying, right, you've got to now save money. We want you to save money so we can make money. There you go. They save on that cladding. The fire service is deregulated, so they don't have to sign it off anymore. And there you have Grenfell Tower.
I think you're absolutely right, Sean. I mean, in layman's terms, that's exactly what we're dealing with. We're looking at investors now that are looking to profit in any way that they can maximise the opportunity. And what they've done is exactly equal to what you said about the Grenfell Tower. In particular, you know, this is like a corporate takeover of our industry, whereby they're saying, look, we want you to work for us. We haven't got to do the jobs that you're doing, so we can keep chipping away at everything you're doing. And, you know, we can offer the service cheaper and cheaper and cheaper. And all it's going to do is it's just going to create a complete an overrunning of how our industry is going to be in the future. And we have to be really mindful of that.
I think it's a shame because it's, you know, it's attached to the gig economy. And I think originally, that if you look at the gig economy and perhaps more the shared economy, if you look at that, I can see how on paper that was a really good thing. That was a really good thing. But it got hijacked immediately by the money men, didn't it? Hijacked by them. And not only that, now you've got to pay for someone to be an intermediary in you renting out your driveway. I think, come on. The whole idea of the shared economy is a euphemism for incomes not keeping up with the cost of living. That's what it is. And so people have to use their assets. You're made feel empowered by using your assets. So you can rent out your car, you can rent out your second bedroom. Well, I don't see them at Balmoral or them at Chequers renting out their second bedroom. Do you? And you wouldn't do it. Now, you'd probably feel empowered because that's how they make you feel, but you wouldn't do it if you could afford not to do it, would you? And I think that's the whole point of the gig economy. It's just, it gets hijacked. And we're now funding the billionaires.
Yeah, but the thing is, Sean, you know, to the eye of the public, it sounds really a viable thing, doesn't it? Because they're looking and thinking, wow, you know, we're getting a really good turnout of this. really ultra competitive industry now, which is all about transport services. But what we've got to look at is the biggest concern is that these corporations are buying each other out every other day. So effectively, what does that say about us as an industry if we're actually being bought out by corporate intervention? And that is the biggest worry, because we won't be who we thought we were as sole traders.
And the thing is as well, I mean, that's exactly the reason why Taxi Act was brought about. And before anybody says Taxi Act hijacks this or hijacks, say even my taxi for publicity purposes, Taxi Act came about because of policy. It wasn't the other way around. It came out because of policy, and because there was the foresight to see that these corporations was like an en masse takeover of a regulated trade. That's exactly what they were doing. And unless we could organise in the sense that we had our own technological structure as such, there is absolutely no way you could compete. No way, because you get, as was evidenced, you get picked off in a second, which was what was happening. And I'd like to think everybody would be on Taxi App, but I know that's not always the mindset of taxi drivers. And I know that when you've got a corporation that is very aggressive in going for what is your market, and I think I mentioned to Chris earlier, the way they could supersede your ability to trade, and you now have to take that work, which was originally yours, off that app, off that company that's now providing you it, is that company now an employer? Because correlatively, you cannot do anything different. You can't work as a taxi driver any other way. You can't become a taxi driver any other way than the way you do. There's not an alternative route, is there, to becoming a taxi driver? You have to meet the required standard, and the vehicle has to meet the conditions of fitness in order for you to operate. You can't work as a taxi driver any other capacity. You cannot work as one. So if they go into that market, and I think they've had it easy. I think Uber had it harder. Okay, they bought growth, didn't they, Uber? They just bought it. They didn't grow it, did they? Ridiculous to think that they grew it. They bought it, especially if the Qatari group have got $3.5 billion to, throw around.
Peanuts.
Yeah, nothing, is it? I'd go to the TSB, I think, see if they get me 3.5 times my mortgage or something. So if they've got that, they were in the market. They've come into an established product, haven't they? The black cab trade, established product. It's got a good name, the Icon. Come in, let's get jump on the back of that. Now we'll take all of their work, of how they operate, how they make the money, how they survive, and we'll have it. And now you've got nothing. So correlatively, I can't work any other way. I can't do anything.
But then you're going to have to adhere to their procedures, aren't you? That's the thing. They're going to now set precedents on your regulations.
Hence why this an employment case against my taxi is hugely significant, because it defines working practices of the future and whether working practices as a taxi driver will exist in the future. Because we've talked about, haven't we, and interestingly enough, we've talked about how when they always say Uber's prime for hire on the streets, I think me and Chris have talked about it as well. My view is they would take that off the street, and that would suit business and everything, especially with certainly the administration we have in at the moment. They would love that, wouldn't they? It's all about business. Take that work off the sole trader and move it, shift it en masse over to business. That's what would happen, isn't it? They don't like you anymore, do they? I remember back in the 80s. I know you remember that. You probably remember in the 70s, maybe even 60s. Oh. But I remember that the Conservative Party of the day was giving something like they'd give £2,000. If you got £2,000, they'd match £2,000 if you were setting up a small business. Mm. So they encourage that kind of small business. But now it seems they have a hatred for it. It seems like you're the loose cannon, especially if they think that you have got a little bit of surplus cash. Mm. Can't have that, can they? You've got a little bit of surplus cash. That makes you trouble. Mm. We might do a demo next week. I don't know. It gives us the time off. Have a couple of days off to do a demo. But I think now it's not valued at all. So, I mean, things to think about. But certainly, of everything that's going, and we can get a bit preoccupied, can't we, with Uber as the enemy. Mm. But when you think about it, the enemy is the one that's within, really, because if Uber had gone, our situation wouldn't change, would it? Mm. And they would all, and I think you referred to it at City Hall, the fact that the vested interests are all concerned with how they compete. And so I can't see them. They'd love to be like Uber. 40,000 with no stimulus from the street hail. So every job that comes through the app, you are doing, because you've got no conflict with the street hail. They'd love that, wouldn't they? And I think, so if we think there would lobby on the side of the taxi driver, then why aren't they contesting Bank Junction? Why aren't they contesting bus lanes that are restricting taxis? Why aren't they contesting Tottenham Court Road? Why aren't they contesting all these things if that's beneficial to us?
Mm. Well, that's the case in question in relation to what we will go on to talk about a bit later on. But when you're talking about how they're taking over our industry, you look at the two key apps that taxis use. You know, these are two servers that are refused to actually show how their actual working practices are on the apps. And that was really concerning for me, because you think if you really care about this industry, you'd be more than happy to assist it in actually, you know, coming to a clear conclusion on how the apps actually operate.
Now, you was going to read something out, wasn't you?
I was, yes.
And it is an interesting, I think, came across.
I think it deserves a couple of minutes, which I'd like to just share. So this is from My Taxi, Investors in My Taxi, which was on Tuesday, the 26th of July, 2016. Halo and My Taxi announced plans to join forces to create Europe's largest taxi e-hailing company, with over 3 million customers and 100,000 registered taxi drivers in over 50 cities across 9 countries. As for one of the first and early investors in Halo, we are excited by the news. Atomico has sat on the board of Halo since our very first seed investment in 2011. We have been very impressed with Andrew Pennington's leadership of the Halo team since January 2015. The fact that he is leading the combined business from Germany shows how much respect he has garnered in the e-hailing space. Both Halo and My Taxi will be stronger together, as they will now be able to provide customers with a seamless e-hailing experience in the UK, Ireland, Spain, Austria, Germany, Italy, Poland, Portugal and Sweden. So that's them selling their product through an investor. From the beginning, bearing in mind, Atomico. And here we have it on a blog from Uber Pitch in London. You have a great business idea, want to speak to a top investor, but don't know how? Worry no more. We at Uber have partnered with Atomico. And there you go.
Well, that
collusion is beginning.
Well, that, there you go. That just about says it all, doesn't it? And when you've not got a choice, that is it. I mean, I can't go in Tesco's anymore. I can't go in McDonald's. I can't have my car washed there because apparently they do Ubers in the spare time. You can't go anywhere. Yeah. So they've got all these, you know, connections, this collaborative approach to everything. And we're going to be left in complete isolation. But is it too late? Is it too late to do anything about it? That's the thing. I don't think it is. I think we could clean up. But it does seem, I don't know what you think, and we're going to come back to this, but it does seem like a little bit late in the day, don't you think? And it does seem like a win, lose or draw situation now.
Well, I think we're in 2018, and I think the last 2 years in particular, I think so much has been going on. I think we've struggled to keep up with it. I totally agree with you. I don't think that, you know, there isn't an opportunity for us to drag things back. I think people were hoping there was going to be some form of justice within, you know, how Uber are operating, and they saw that maybe as a way of actually seeing a bit more of a realignment of what we offer. But I think so much has gone on more recently, and I think the more important factor is we have to come away from this idea that these corporations that want to pretty much manipulate how we work in the future, we have to come away from the idea of thinking that they're here to serve this industry. We only have to worry about what the licensed London Taxi does. What we're doing is we're being kind of cajoled into thinking, look, this is the future, but the bigger picture is that these two corporate apps actually want.
Oh, well, they want the world. This is the global economy. They want the whole world.
We don't want the whole world. We just want to secure what we have, what the knowledge is about, what regulations are about, and, you know, are we ever, because of that technology, are we really ever going to get a definition of what
It does put flying for hire back in the limelight, because I know, of course, the RMT has been going after that for a while, and there has been no impetus. There's been no kind of political will to pursue it. But it does put it back in the limelight, doesn't it? Because the apps, you know, show their hand. They're being asked, are they a buying app or not? And
they're not responding.
deafened by silence, absolutely deafened. I think Get tentatively said that. I don't know how binding that is just because they say it, I'm not sure.
But because they're all being bought out by a bigger, you know, corporations, I think the problem they have is that they can't really say something that might actually conflict in who the investors that are taking them over, you know, that's the thing.
Yeah, that is a thing, and I think... Well, there's an issue, isn't there, that you could say that Prime for Hire commits them to, marginalises them to this dinky little trade that happens to be a bit of a loose cannon here in London. You know, I think that's the thing. I don't know, marginalise themselves to taxi trades. When Uber's got 40,000 private hire rolling as well, because there's 600 in, 600 out, they've got that rolling. And they would see it as being a restrictive market, wouldn't they, to say, right, I'm going to stick with this taxi trade. You could see how they wouldn't want to do that. Nevertheless, the legislation is there. And unless they're doing it, then they're illegal. That's the way it is. And Uber, with Uber now saying that they comply and got Deloitte to confirm they comply, but have put a Section 43 on the freedom of information to see how they demonstrate they comply, I think that's something that has to be brought into question, because as far as I'm concerned, as long as they are prevented, TfL will say it's time is a discussion with the cab trade. They're not having a discussion with the cab trade. They're certainly not having a negotiation. So unless they can be open about that, and it's in the public interest to be open about it, then I say they're still illegal.
So how do we actually get to see how it differs from the original operations?
Well, you don't, and that's the whole point of it. And surely it's in the public interest. There's been 2,500 serious criminal offences that Uber hid from the authorities. There's been something like 11 sexual assaults per month. There's been an inexorable rise in road traffic accidents, but they won't let you know that they comply. Now, if I was a passenger, you should know that they're legal and you're properly insured. You have the appropriate insurance. They're not doing it, are they? So as far as I'm concerned, they're still illegal. Paul, we're going to come back to that anyway, because we'll be joined by Chris, and, you know, this will be an extensive conversation, won't it? You're going to stay with us, yeah?
Oh, definitely.
For life?
Very interested to listen to what Chris Johnson's got to say. Yeah. Very learned, man.
This is an appropriate track, by the way. I was just thinking money, money, you know. Money and misery, that's what I say. We'll be bringing in Miss Myrna Bourne a bit later as well. She's got plenty to say. And I have to mute her. We have a problem. We have a serious problem if you haven't got the mute button. I can see her doing show. She's like miming to me through the window now, miming words. She's got to do action, but she's miming words through the window. Unbelievable. Listening to Rosie Gaines and Closer Than Close.
Closer than you ever.
Respect, that's all I'm asking for, Myrna. How are you today? You all right? How's it going? Is your mic working? Give it a bash now.
Hello, Sean.
Yeah, that seems...
Hello, Sean Paul Day.
I think that's about right. Yeah.
I think so, yes.
What's happening this week? You've been very lively, haven't you?
Yes,
maybe
I was.
That's just me.
I was maybe. Yes.
If you want to know what Myrna Bourne looks like, because some of you don't,
I'm beautiful. I'm really absolutely gorgeous. I can tell you this when I'm on the radio.
Was that before the accident?
Yes.
All right. Okay. But come on
accident,
down.
Accident didn't really have impact on my radio career.
Tell you what. What about that presenting career you had? Do you remember that?
Yes.
You know. She's around and she's got London Taxi Radio stickers for you.
Yes, I have.
We've been asking, Myrna, what is the thing that changed your life forever?
Well, you.
Me, well, for the better.
Well, that's a questionable.
Yes. Come on, for the better.
You know, Sean never fell for my... what do you say, manipulation? When
I wonder why that was.
I
wonder why that was. Come on, she's far too masculine
I'm
for me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just like his slave.
I'm far too masculine. I couldn't, you know, it's that moustache. Yes. The one on the top of her lip that I'm bothered
yes.
about. Yeah.
So I shaved them today.
Everything's okay, though.
Everything is okay, Sean. I have to give you a little bit of respect for that letter that you have wrote for judicial review.
Do you know, it took me 20 minutes.
No, it didn't, because I have to be quiet for about 3 hours.
Oh, so well, tell you what.
Nearly killed me.
I'll have to pretend I'm writing
but well
another
done,
letter.
Sean, well done.
It's only 3 hours, I tell
I
you what, that's a lifetime.
To Chris, I have to say well done to him occasionally.
Do you?
Yes.
Oh, well, 3 hours is thanks. That's all right. Of silence.
It was 3 hours of silence, 3 hours of misery. I thought, this is it. I can't take it anymore. I need a drink.
I tell you what, you're everybody's ADHD nightmare.
Yes.
I mean, ADHD, the sufferers of ADHD, and then the sufferers.
I know.
And you're like the carrier.
Yes,
the carrier
I know.
Of ADHD. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
carrying it around.
Paul Harris just letting us know that they can hear my dulcet tones.
Yeah, from...
I mean, I don't even think that I need a mic with the...
What, from the other side of the curtain?
No, exactly.
She arrived on redundant Ukrainian warships, folks. Not last January, though, did you, when everybody else came? You have been here... How long have you been here in London now?
In London?
Yeah.
Oh, over 20 years.
She's got children and everything,
yes.
Hasn't she? And how long have you been with Norman?
Oh, 22 years.
Poor Norman.
No, Normichko is very happy.
I'm sure he is. But what's the big thing that stood out for you this week? I know you've been active on social network, haven't you?
No, the big thing is what's happening with the judge, the letter that you have wrote.
Well, we did discuss it.
You know,
I mean, this is Magistrate Abuthnot. Now, she is not just a magistrate. She is chief magistrate.
Yes.
And it seems she was assigned to all of Uber's kind of trials and tribulations. It seemed she was the kind of defining figure. I don't know whether they requested her. I didn't know that you could. I wouldn't put it past them, though.
I don't know. But, you know, shocking thing is what is going to happen now after this, because it's such a injustice that is happening to our trade, and it seems to we are not moving anywhere.
Well, everything is linked. And me and Chris Johnson, we did go to Brighton. We went down to... We didn't go to Brighton. No, we didn't. We went down to Lewes, which is neighbouring on to Brighton.
Can Chris say hello?
No, we will say hello. But he'll get introduced properly. So We went down to Lewis and we showed on the app, didn't, well, Chris mainly in the main showed that you could hire a taxi even though you hadn't had your license renewed. And this was significant at the time because my taxi wasn't verifying licenses. And we thought that was a travesty of justice because without your license, without you and your bill every 3 years, you are nothing. You are Uber. Yes. And if my taxi wasn't going to value your license, then we thought that was doing us an injustice.
No,
because
absolutely.
Effectively they were saying, you're not important to me. Your yes. license as a taxi driver isn't
it's like
important.
We just want to devalue you, you know.
Well, in one fell swoop, that's exactly what they did. You wasn't important. You was like, you could go and be like Uber. Effectively, that's what they were saying. And if the barrier to entry was so low, like with Uber, they was effectively doing the same on my taxi. Just because you did have a license, my taxi, you didn't, because they hadn't requested that you update
I
your
know,
details.
Because I personally could lose my license when I physically attack you. I'm just very lucky that he's not reporting me to the police.
No, I mean, I do like you to keep your license because it keeps you out the house, doesn't it?
Yeah, you see,
know, quite a lot.
All it is, oh, it's really good outside. Go to work.
That's right. But it is a serious situation that really, that there was not any emphasis put on renewing your license. It didn't matter to them. Yes. And it took uploading, and I took it upon myself to do it, but uploading a serial rapist. There you go. You know, something like 600 rapes. That, you know, presumed 600 rapes or implicated in 600 rapes. This is off the charts. This is off the Richter scale. It took 5 minutes to upload and another 2 minutes to book.
I know.
Delroy Grant, notorious rapist. This is a private hire as well. It took 1 minute, literally. You could have booked him in 1 minute. That wasn't actually him, was it? But it wasn't. You couldn't say it was fraud because the bill was it was obviously fake, and his address was Wormwood Scrubs. Come on, so there you go.
This
was uploaded. Now this is a thing. But it took for them to start verifying taxi drivers' licenses, for them to start saying. So it was only when their brand was tainted, when their brand looked like they might struggle, they might have a fall off of income, that they decided to do something about it. Not because you. Was important to them as a taxi driver, because if you was, they'd have verified licenses from the beginning, wouldn't they? So we'll be looking at that. This is the one I play for. I don't know where he is, but this is the one I play for Sean Stockton.
Yeah.
I can see him in his roller skates. I'd love a pair of rolling skates like that. I'm joined by Chris Johnson. Hello, Chris. How are you? You have to go very close to it. I know. And I, you know, you're firmly heterosexual, so it's all right. But we've got... Now, we did interview Chris, didn't we, not so long ago. The audio on that was pretty bad, I remember. But nevertheless, I think this is kind of... We've moved on since... Just since asking the apps to say whether they are a pine app or not, haven't we? And that's what we were looking for them to define what the app does or what drivers did on the app and all that business. We've moved on since then, haven't we? And this has escalated very quickly, but, you know, it really has escalated, hasn't it? Which wasn't that long ago, was it, really, when you think about it?
Then with the Dad's Defended Daughters and the LCDC, didn't
you? Yeah, that's right, yeah.
In the summer, and that's good afternoon sporting with the judge.
So what was the point of doing that? Why did we do that?
What happened there was, we went and asked the question, are we flying for hire on that, or is it a free booking? And for public safety reasons, because if we could go out of the area unchecked, set bookings, then that's clearly a public safety issue. And from that, what happened was that pretty quickly, get geofence drivers out of town. So drivers couldn't accept jobs out of town. And that's the way it should be, shouldn't it? I mean, private hire drivers shouldn't be accepting jobs outside of London. Taxi drivers shouldn't be accepting jobs outside of London.
That's absolutely right. But that's effectively what was happening, isn't it? And that's what we showed in Lewis.
Yeah, that's right. So gets geofence there at a couple of days after us exposing that. And then my taxi continued.
Can't hear him.
Very, very.
Okay, talking to that mic, Chris. Sorry, folks. Lovely live. Live, just see if it...
Musical chairs.
Turn the music. It's a rock bottom, the music, but...
Is that better?
That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it, Chris. That was very... almost balletic in the way you did it. Almost balletic. It should be. It's very high. Just one second. You could sing us a song if you wanted. Okay, how's that?
Hello? Is that any better?
Any better? Well, you could hear Paul, couldn't you? You could hear. Yeah? It seems to be working.
Nothing?
They're a little bit behind. They're on delay, you see. So the thing is, they're telling you that you can't be heard when you probably could be heard. I can hear you. So if you take the mic out, just hold the mic. Yeah. It is working. So if you go... Go on. I'm sure you'll be heard now.
Right, is that any better?
Is it any better?
That's
there
better.
You go, you
now
see. There you go,
now
you
we're
see.
In business, eh?
Well, I tell you what, it doesn't get any better than the LBC. I tell you, envious as anything LBC. And, you know, YouTube, LBC, and the... Have you been into Earl Street? It's antiquated, a lot more antiquated than this. Anyway, Chris, yeah, so...
It's probably best I'm on mute anyway.
Yeah, well, no, because... Well, that's the thing. You would think it was the other way around, Chris. You would think my taxi... was on mute.
These guys don't want to engage. Don't want to engage with the drivers on the ground. They don't want to engage with the taxi trade. They simply avoid any questions. And look, there is a reason, I think, why they avoid any questions is because they want to leave their options open. They don't want to tie themselves into our trade. They want to leave themselves open to put cars on the... on the apps, and that's been proved, hasn't it, with Gett putting private hire vehicles onto the app. So we know that they want to do that. That we know that that's something that they can do. And with Ola coming into the market, who's to say they won't all do that?
Well, that's right. And the thing is, they want to. They put Porsches on, but it seemed like there wasn't a murmur. It seemed like nobody was bothered by it. It seemed because they were Porsches. I know there was a little bit of a, you know, people kicked, you know, said one or two things, but it didn't seem a transgression of the regulations as they stand. And it should have been seen like that. And there should have been 100% zero tolerance to the Porsches being able to operate on the on-demand market.
Well, I think the LCDC were kicking up a stink about that, but I think there was a lone voice in that. And unless all the organisations understand what is happening in here with these apps, then we're pretty muted, aren't we?
They are, yeah. Yeah, that's right. I mean, the thing is, you would think, again, it was them that were muted because they're not saying anything, and I know they are keeping their options open, but since Lewis and since the uploading of the private hire driver onto my taxi, we went down to the offices, still didn't talk to you down there. I know Chris Garlick was there as well. And now we're left with a situation that you've got nowhere else to go but what you've just done recently.
Well, this isn't about being terminated for doing anything wrong. How can it be? How can blowing the whistle on public safety be a factor in termination? And that affects my family's life, the money, that your ability to earn any money. So this could happen to anyone. And what do we do in the future? If you find that one of these app companies are committing an offence, or you think that they're committing an offence,
Do you report it to the authorities or to the police or whoever you need to report it to, with a fear that you could be kicked off and it would seriously damage your income in the future? Or do you just turn a blind eye and let somebody be a victim of crime or a vulnerable person get in trouble somewhere along the line? So I think this is important. I think we absolutely must have working protections. We absolutely must have whistleblowing protections.
What about the police? What would have been their response? What was their response?
Well, there is a development happening with the police that I can't go into at the moment. I've had some extensive conversations over the last 9 months with the police. They've now taken on board what I'm saying, the importance of what I'm saying, and are investigating. So there is developments there that I can't go into.
Okay. And what support do you have for this? Because I know this is, like I've said, this is of such magnitude, and a declaration either way could determine future policy.
Well, as you know, I suffered some online abuse, being called a scab for joining the GMB.
Yeah.
And that post was taken, a few posts were taken down by Twitter, rightly so. There's no place online for trolling, I don't think.
No.
I think it's wrong. I don't think it serves any purpose. But hey, that's life. I'm sure I'll pick some up after this. But look, support. So I joined the GMB. We have taken a couple of legal opinions with the GMB, and I am progressing this through a couple of law firms that have shown an interest in doing this. So I'm not going to progress with the GMB, and I've asked the LCDC in the early days to support me. And what happened there was, because I got terminated without any reason, I asked the LCDC to pull the advert that they're in their magazine for, that they promote my taxi. On the provision that my taxi gave me the reason.
Yeah.
That didn't happen, so I'm no longer a member of the LCDC. There seems to be some conflict with the GMB, so I'm considering my membership with the GMB.
But you see, the GMB, I would have thought this would have been something they would have snapped up. This is completely their field to say, actually, this is workers' rights. This is that area. This is very much a union area, isn't
it? This conflicts. Taxis conflict with their main operation, which is private hire. So all of these organisations think about their membership, and where the GMB have only got a few taxi members, they look at the cost of this and then they decide whether they're going to go with it. So it was a cost-based decision for them. And when you get into cost-based decisions in unions, you're in very difficult ground, and unions can't succeed at having that methodology. So that's why these small unions spring up and splinter groups, because the main unions just don't want to spend any money.
That is it. They would say that taxi drivers only are a small component, but I'm not into secondary representation. I don't know about you. If they represent you, they represent you. And they would call someone out, wouldn't they, if their fag brake was, you know, impeded by 30 seconds on the railways or the tube.
It's actually better. Yeah, I'm doing this on my own because I've got more flexibility. I've not got any constraints around me while doing this. I'm getting some excellent legal advice from barristers and lawyers that are taking a genuine interest in this case, because this is groundbreaking. And we're talking about workers' rights for taxi drivers.
Okay, here's a question, you know, and you've answered it many times, and so it's not out of the blue. But if they said, okay, my taxi is different to Uber, what would you say to that? Because effectively, it's the same employment claim, isn't it?
It's a similar employment claim. What's happened with the Uber Employment Tribunal is that multi-apping, when a driver has got two apps running at the same time, hasn't been challenged yet. And the claimants in the Uber Tribunal were single users of the Uber app, so they wasn't using any other app. And what will be covered in the appeal is when a driver operates on two apps.
Right.
So my argument clearly is that we are operating two hiring systems, one via the My Taxi app and one directly from the street. So it's exactly the same as having two apps running. Now, what I'm not claiming is that I'm an employee of of my taxi.
Right.
What I'm claiming is something called Lim B worker.
Right.
And that is a form of self-employment with worker rights, basic worker rights, minimum wage,
mm-hmm.
Holiday pay, etc. Just basic protections. Now, the law is clear in this area. When you are integrated into somebody else's business, then you are a worker. It's very, very clear. And the contract with my taxi, clause 3.4, says there's an obligation for the driver to accept the job. So when they offer you a job on the screen, they obligate you to take that job. If you don't take that job and take yourself out of your self-employed state, i.e. taking the ability to take a street hail, if you remove that, then you are forced to take their job. If you don't, they can terminate you without reason. Now, that is control.
Absolutely, in my book. And I think, wouldn't they argue the degree of control?
Well, that's the question. They absolutely have to have drivers waiting about. Without drivers waiting about, they don't have a business.
That's right. And I suppose if you can go and work in another area, then you are no different to Uber.
Well,
so there's parallels to be drawn.
That's exactly the point. So there's a couple of tests that are required for worker status. Who is marketing me to the world? Well, you could say, are you applying for hire on your own account? Or am I taxi marketing you to the world? Well, when I'm outside of my area, there's no doubt that I'm offered my taxi jobs.
Yeah, I mean, they can't operate, can they, unless they have that advertising platform.
Exactly. So I can't advertise myself to the world outside of the area. So how am I any different to an Uber driver?
Absolutely. I mean, that is advertising in its purest sense, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And so if they take all the work off the street, it's not even needed, is it, if you're emulating kind of what Uber's doing anyway?
No, so, I mean, look, the clear question is, if my taxi are marketing me to the world outside of the GLA area because I can't apply for hire, then they must be doing the same inside of London. It's absolute madness to say that.
Yeah, of course.
I'm plying inside, but I'm not plying outside.
Yeah, and it's bizarre to think that they would say, oh, because you can do that off the app as such. It's bizarre because you can do anything off the app, can't you?
Let them tell us what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Why won't they tell us? Because if they tell us that it's applying app, then we say, okay, let's get that documented, and they can't put cars on it. Protects our future.
That's right. Again, we need the impetus for that, don't we?
Of course we do. We need the support of the major organisations, the LTDAs, the LCDCs, the big players, the United Cabbies.
That's right.
The RMT, speaking to Paul White today, and I think the RMT get it.
I mean,
I don't know where Unite stand on this.
I would say, and I'm speculating, so no one can hold me, you know, to account on this, because it is speculation, but they could always reply, couldn't they? So I would say Unite and the LTDA against any kind of regulation of the apps altogether. I would say that. Now, they're welcome to come on and respond.
Of course we need regulation. I mean, you go back to the Delroy Grant incident, where there was a fake driver loaded up onto the My Taxi.
And it was obviously fake as well.
How do my taxi or TfL know there is not more fake accounts around the country?
Well, of course. I mean, I'm sure there would be. And not only that, it leaves everybody open. If you're a member of the public and you are taking a black cab, now, you might choose to take a black cab for whatever reason, but one of those reasons, I'd like to think, is safety.
Of course.
And they would expect that regulation to apply to the app when they're getting a black cab on the app. They would expect it to apply, wouldn't they?
It's cool. So look, there's no... It's very, very clear what's happened here. I've been terminated for nothing else than blowing the whistle. Now, if you think that's right, then my taxi have done nothing wrong and they can just terminate drivers whenever they want.
But not put in provisions for why you blew the whistle.
No provisions. So we must have whistleblowing rights for public safety, because if these app companies are are going to undermine public safety, and we then can't pull them up on it or report them to the authorities. Well, where does that leave public safety? It leaves it nowhere.
Yeah, well, exactly. And the thing is, it is put on the back burner, isn't it, public safety now? It doesn't matter. The grievance I have with this, the public safety issue, is that they're not telling the public that their safety is compromised. Do you know, they still think the public are going on thinking that these provisions were in place. They would think, absolutely they wouldn't think that you hadn't got your licence when you turned up. They'd absolutely think that you had, because they'd think it was verified.
Of course. I mean, look, this has got to be a check. I mean, my taxi are more than welcome to have a conversation, a without prejudice conversation. It is now through the legal process, but I've always said that we need to have open dialogue with my taxi. I think we've both said it, Sean.
Yeah, that's right.
They're not having open dialogue with us. This isn't about ruining my taxi's business. This is about putting protections in place for us, the drivers. And I hope that everybody supports us in doing that.
Well, again, the significant thing is they will dictate future policy.
Of course they will.
You know, and that, where will that leave us if we don't do something? And you've got to do something now, because when the rumblings are happening that certain things are going a certain way, it's too late, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is motoring along a very, very quick pace. They're taking up the majority of the street. How, I think I was reading somewhere, they've got 80% of the drivers on the platform. So the trend is to subsidise fares, to capture the market. They clearly want to control the market, control what you do, but they don't want to give you any working protections.
None.
Now, I go back to that. I think the law is clear in this area. I think that we are Limby workers, the way the contract is set out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy to have a discussion with my taxi regarding the contract, a without prejudice discussion. However, it is full steam ahead if they're not willing to engage.
Rightly so. Where are you at the moment with this?
Right, so we applied to ACAS for an early conciliation. My taxi didn't answer that. I've asked for some subject access requests into my data, and I urge every driver to ask for their own personal data.
Yeah, yeah.
What they hold, because it's quite compelling stuff. It really, really is what data they actually hold on you.
Yeah, what I'll do is from the radio, I'll put a template on, because it's good to request one from TfL as well. Why wouldn't you want the information they have on you?
Specifically my taxi, what they do is they track where you are, clearly, where you pick the job, where you're offered the job, where you pick the job up, where you drop it off. There's so much analytical data they capture on you through the trip. Now, we're just giving this data up for nothing.
Yeah.
And we're gonna get bit on the arse by it.
Well, we did. We gave it away anyway, didn't we? And that was the biggest problem. This is like oil, isn't it, nowadays? And we just gave it away. We gave it to the enemy, in fact.
Well, I mean, I'm not sure that my taxi are the enemy. I think that technology...
Well, if you've not got the data and they have your data, that's working against your best interest, isn't it?
It is working against your best interest, but they've got to... These app companies are here in the market. We've got to look forward. We've got to work with them.
That's right.
But they've also got to work with us as well, because if they don't, then they'll get more and more worker rights claims against them both. Get my taxi if their contracts are set up in a specific way that control the driver.
So as we stand, you're still looking for, without prejudice, a conversation with my taxi, and you're quite happy to do that. And I've invited my taxi on. I've invited them on for comments. I've invited them on to just make a statement, either have a chat or an interview, whatever, in whatever format they want. And it doesn't have to be with you even, but we'd like to hear from my taxi, whatever.
Yeah, of course we would. I mean, the invitation has always been there for a Without Prejudice meeting. But as I said, we are now... the ET1 has been filed.
Right. Just say what an ET1 is, please, Chris.
An ET1 is a document that you need to file setting out your arguments for an employment tribunal to look at. What happens is they have 28 days to reply to that. They'll ask for a load of questions. They'll ask for a load more information. What they'll try and do is bully me with lawyers, try and strike the claim out, I'm guessing. But look, we're ready for that.
Yeah.
So I am prepared. I've been preparing all weekend. I've got three files here in the office of documentation.
You want to see these files? I mean, if you like paper, some I prefer to eat. You know, work with food or something. But you know, if you or you know through the night. But if you like paper, then this is the place to be. Files of paper.
I mean, what's an interesting point is that the minimum fare shop.
Yeah.
No one's addressed that. We can't charge more than the metered fare. It's an offence.
Oh, yeah. I think it's outrageous, to be quite honest.
Now, they say to the customer that there is a minimum fare. There is nothing in their terms and conditions making provisions for the minimum fare for the customer.
Yeah.
They just say it on the app. Now, they expect us to charge the minimum fare. And from a question that the UCG asked TfL, if a customer makes a complaint against you, they're going to come after you, the driver. So there is a problem there. We're leaving ourselves wide open and without protection. So, look, we all want to earn a few quid.
Well, the thing is, that was also resource thing, and it was price elasticity. That's what they were going for, and we would hear more of that. But price elasticity was the way to go. Now, if they have your data, and this is when I talk about them being kind of against us, when they have your data and you turn around and say, no, the meter fare is the fair and proper way of doing things. I don't make the, you know, the fare. The passenger doesn't. The meter does. That is the fair and proper way. It's also about liberty, because it's across the board. You know what you're paying when you get in the cab. Now, they'll go, yeah, but we have the data. We have the data that price elasticity is what works best. So, you know, when you think of, they're not the enemy, but certainly data will work against you when there's third-party profiteers involved.
Yeah, of course. I mean, if you delve into this, you see that the investors are all the same in all of these companies. They don't care which one succeeds as long as one of them succeeds. They want to merge, clearly want to merge the two-tier system into one. And we need to push back against that, don't we?
I think it's restrictive to have a two-tier. Who are the ones that do all the complaining? It's us. And what do we complain about? The two-tier system, don't we? Or lack of two-tier system?
This goes into everything, doesn't it? This goes into defining flying for hire, getting workers' rights going forward, whistleblowing protection. So they're all inextricably linked, aren't they?
Absolutely. Completely linked. So that's where we're at. So you'll come on and give us an update, won't you?
Yeah, I mean, we're 3 weeks away from I'll get an answer, maybe sooner, from my taxi.
And if you go on Twitter, you can follow In The Pink. It is In The Pink, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, Charlie Croker, In The Pink Taxi. You can follow that, because it is it's put out there, and rightly so as well, I think, because it's making people aware. It's making drivers aware, because there's a lot of lack of awareness about. So it's right that it's out there. But I want to know what was the thing that changed your life forever, Chris.
Oh, that hasn't happened yet, Sean.
What's that?
That hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened. There's not going to be me again, as long as it's not me. Yeah. But nothing that significant. Nothing that just. Sometimes it's a one line. It's something that's apt to happen on an off Sunday afternoon, that somebody says this and you go, it all makes sense. It all makes sense. I'm now going to take my clothes off and go, no, there's nothing like that. Well, that would make sense. But yeah, so nothing like that. Nothing simple. No, nothing profound. No. Not a marriage of 20 years, which changes everybody's life.
Not yet. That's as I say, nothing's happened yet. Perhaps, sir. Perhaps an employment tribunal might fire it off, eh?
Well, I tell you what, yeah. And not only that, it might fire it off for a lot of people changing their lives. Yeah,
what
I mean?
What I'm saying is, look, to everybody who's been kicked off these apps, challenge them.
Challenge them, absolutely.
Ask them, am I a worker?
Yeah.
And ask them why you're not.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? A very basic right to know that.
Of
isn't
course,
that a very basic right?
Look, we've got to challenge these guys. If they're not going to engage with us, they must be challenged, and we must get protections in place.
Well, there you go, and that's the best note to finish on that. And we'll be back after this. So back to life. Do you remember that?
Steady, are you ready? What's going on? Cold, fresh air. I'm down, take a look around. Oh, this love now. However do you want me? However do you need me? However do you want me? However do you need me? However do you want me?
Lovely listeners, this is the last leg of the show, I'm afraid, but very few people come down, but it is August, and I know a lot of people are on holiday. Nice if you can get it, you know, place in Bridlington wouldn't be too bad, would it? Adam Franco, he's the henchman here tonight. We're at City Diesel, which is at GSS. They are the hosts for the show this evening, and Adam Franco, he's holding guard. I'll tell you what, we've got to finish up at 10:30, though. He's putting on the restraints, he's putting on the bonds, and he's a nasty, evil-looking, you know, henchman-looking fella. He's not at all. He's as good as gold, and he has let us host here impeccably tonight. So come on down to City Diesel at GSS, and, you know, you'll get a free London Taxi Radio sticker, and you'll get to say hello to our henchman. Believe me, no messing about. That's Adam Franco. He's in the house tonight, looking after proceedings. Still got Chris and Paul. And I'm going to ask Paul, what changed your life, Paul? Yeah, it's all right. In your own time. Whenever you like. I think that one is working, actually, Paul. But give it a...
Is that working?
That one is definitely working. So if you wanted to take that one. But, did something profound happen to you that changed your life forever? And I'm not talking about the daily, you know, grind. You know, because that'll give you the grizzled look, won't it, if you're a wily veteran of the night. What happened, something that might have changed your life profoundly, something somebody said, and it could be something that was over a period of time, or it could be something that just happened on a Tuesday afternoon.
Wow, you've put me on the spot here with this one.
I think you're all right. Go close to
I don't think I've actually approached that moment yet. I don't think anything's... That's happened.
Well, I'll tell you, time's running out.
Well, I mean, look, hopefully this show will be running forever and ever. And if that's the case, then I'm sure I'll come across that point in the foreseeable future.
That'd be a nice thing.
I guess sometimes, I mean, you know, I guess from each individual, what do you deem as being profound in your life? Something that changes, you know?
Well something that, you know, sets you on a different course of direction, makes you think differently, makes you think, you know what, that I thought that was the way and now I know it wasn't, or something, you know, I mean, it could be something profound, or it could be just some... I'll tell you what mine was, and it happened very early on. But it was, all it was I was with the National Youth Theatre, and that was, I was about 15, so there I hardly had any life experience at all. But, you know, I was getting, you know, nervous about things that was going on. And I remember the CEO at the time, the person who ran it, Michael something, I can't remember what his last name was, maybe somebody knows. But he said, it's not a matter of life and death. It's not a matter of life or death. And I thought, you know what? He's absolutely right. Absolutely right. It wasn't a matter of life or death. Nothing is.
And that really stuck with you.
Well, it did, because every time I thought I'd get stressed about something, this just one liner. And I did actually, when I was very young, you know, in the days we used to fill out a CV, maybe.
I used him as a reference because I knew him quite well, and I think he was an OBE, so I thought that'd go down well as a reference. And the day I sent the letter off was the day he died. So there you go. That was it.
Well, that is definitely profound.
Profound, yeah. So so nothing yet. That's
no,
in your life. That's,
not. Well, I'll just wait for someone to drop dead, and then I'll come and let you know. I guess
that's right.
But no, nothing as significant as that. And yeah, I'd certainly say that. If I experienced something like that, I would have to say that I'd agree with that being very profound.
I mean, it might have been just somebody that was, a comment that was water off a duck's back, didn't really give it much thought, but it made me think that actually what do we project significance on? And they can quite often be things that, you know, especially worry, and I know coming through the mental health route, I know that the worry is as bad as what they're saying that song is about as good as chewing gum, and you can worry, but that's as effective as it would be as chewing gum, because worrying doesn't necessarily solve anything, does it? So if you are worrying, and just remember that it's not a matter of life or death, if you think it is, that's the time to talk to somebody, isn't it? So maybe there's that.
But you know what, that would actually be quite a good topic at some point in the future to talk about, because if you look at what's happened to our industry of more recent years, you know, it's quite a lonely, life as a taxi driver, man or woman.
Oh, not all.
And, you know, you've got lots of things going through your head. You've got, you know, the outside interests of your life going on, family. And then you're trying to earn a living. And then you're having that living taken away from you. And you suddenly realise, wow, you know, you're on your own. And who's there? Who's there? Who's that, that support mechanism when you're out there, you know, and you need that assistance. And it doesn't seem to be... something that we've got easy access to, Sean.
Do you know what? You bang on the money. And did you know that's why I got on involved in Twitter in the first place? Because I knew I'd come through the mental health route. And it was something that I saw as keeping people in this place of uncertainty is the most anxiety-driving thing you can do. If people don't know what the outcome is. Quite often you'll hear people say, I just want to know. Even if it's bad news, I just want to know. And that's because they can't deal with the anxiety of incertitude, the uncertainness of the future. And we don't know whether there'll be the job or it'll be in the same way as we experience it now. And that's a problem. Now, if TfL have got a bigger picture, and we don't know whether they have, when I've gone into TfL, I don't think they're organised at all, but if they do have a perspective, then there's an element of malfeasance there, that the fact that they know the end game, but they're not telling you, they would rather you suffer the anxiety of incertitude. And I think there's something very malicious about being like that to either an individual or a group of people. And they happen to be doing it to 25,000 individuals.
Yeah, maybe they see us as minions, that's the thing.
Well, of course, yes, they do. And even that in itself, there's malice involved in that. I would urge everyone to oppose that and rise up against that, because that is the elite stamping all over. That is 1984 all over again, isn't it? That's the elite stamping on the minions, the fodder, the workforce that don't mean anything. You know, that's exactly what they're doing, isn't it? But I do think out of bad comes good, because I know everybody's, maybe finding it harder now. And there is secondary consequences or stresses like relationship problems or money problems. But I do think out of bad comes good in the fact that that we are a lot more connected up now. Before, I was just a dayman. I went out, just did my job, couldn't wait to get back home. Now I'm far more in touch with everybody out there. And we've got groups. There's all these groups around that people are in touch with. And we all can, I've made such a lot of friends because of this coming about.
Connected.
Yeah,
and
the relational aspect of this. Myrna might turn the show off. She's got it on her phone, folks. But the relational aspect is far greater than it ever was. So, and I'm not saying that applies to everybody, but I know when the Mayfair mob was set up, it was a godsend to some drivers who felt as if they had got something to cling on to, something to hold on to, and like-minded people. There is that, isn't there? But I definitely think it's something that...
Could I just interject here, and just I would just like to take this opportunity on behalf of everyone from London Taxi Radio, but I think as of a whole from the taxi trade, to thank you for a magnificent effort with your letter to the complaints procedure for the magistrate Arbuthnot. I think, Sean, you should be so commended, because this is what you was just exactly expressing. It's the difference. It's one person can make that the individual can make such a significant difference. And really, we're really leaving that responsibility to people that are not taking that on board, and they're leaving the individuals. And it is, if it isn't for this kind of
connectivity within these groups that you just suggested, this never prevails and it never becomes...
Oh, you're right there. And you could say that the groups came about because of a dissatisfaction with what was happening. And they wouldn't have come about if there was effective enforcement out there or there was effective, especially, well, the main representation, which tend to have the funds to go for things, don't they? But, and a bit of forward, bit of foresight as opposed to being reactive. Because why would we just respond to an article in The Guardian? I just think, did it take just some random journalist to get his article passed by the editorial to put into The Guardian? And I just think, do we respond, to wait for that to happen, when we've actually been banging our heads on a brick wall about it since the actual case? You know, since the case, we've been going on about it.
Well, I think even more particular with this, I mean, if we're ever going to be given a pathway to actually make our voices heard with all the concerns we've got going forward, I think this is the opportunity. I personally believe this. I mean, we've actually got the media on side, and we're not taking advantage of it, Sean.
I think tentatively they're on side, aren't they? I think they are reporting more than what they used to report anyway, aren't they? But if The Guardian picks up on something like that, then actually the other side of the story. I just think what amazes me, like with that case, with all the reporting on Uber, taxis don't feature. You know, it was corruption in government, wasn't it? But taxis were a sideline. And actually, the thing that is all about is taxis. But they're marginalised, absolutely marginalised. And TfL marginalises us. We're marginalised. We should be part of traffic modelling. We should be around the table discussing what's good and what's bad, because no one has better experience of the infrastructure and how it how the transport relates to the built environment. No one has the experience of a taxi driver. And so they should be there advising on, but no, you're not even being included. You're being marginalised so much that they say, no, let's push them out. Push them out. You're a public hire service. And the only form of public transport that is not TfL's, you know, money-making, you know, subsidiaries and bus networks. So they have a monopolisation on it. And this is a big thing, and I'll finish on this, and it's a big one. We could have started on this, actually. But restricting from bus lanes, I would say, if we protest in future, then we protest any kind of restriction that's put on us, not just Bank Junction. And I know you were very affected by Bank Junction because it was a significant loss. But if we're restricted from bus lanes, and they're starting with like Lansdowne Drive, a minor road, and then once they've got minor roads, then the major roads will be easily picked off. The moment we are restricted, we use that area. And if we all used it, they couldn't enforce it against us. We're a public hire service, and we're the only door-to-door service there is. And to take that away from us makes us less efficient and makes us not be able to fulfill our remit. But they're going to trial buses that are not structured by these routes, don't have prescribed routes. They can respond to demand. So their bus network will be able to go through Lansdowne Drive, but they're restricting you from going out down into it. They're emulating that of a taxi service, but they don't let you be a door-to-door service. They want their bus network to be, and I think we should have zero tolerance to that. Big talking point. I know that. You've got to work. I've got to work. And you look like you do with 100-year sleep, or you've just had 100-year sleep.
Can I just throw in... Since it's the radio station is for the trade,
right.
Just want to make a mention, Sean, about Taxi App and drivers that are interested in supporting the trade app through a really fantastic PayPal deal.
It is, yeah.
That now drivers signing up to Taxi App get a free PayPal reader. They get the best deal, the best percentage on it. So that basically pays for you to be on the app and to help it grow. And then, like all things, you know, we need drivers to get on board to support us. Maybe sort of consider not sort of questioning what our objectives are, rather than getting on board and then start to understand what it's about. But we do need drivers to get on board. We've got this great deal, and we want our drivers to, you know, get the benefit of it.
Do you know what? I mean, because that's more the validation coming from others, more than coming from me, because generally they know I've been there since its inception. But it beggars belief that drivers won't take it on board. And it does. You've got probably about the same amount of drivers as when we started, which is okay. But the fact that there isn't an impetus to actually say, well, this is all happening around us. The solution is there, and it is a solution, because we have to be technologically organised. If we're not, we're going to be hijacked again every time. And with Silicon Valley, London Silicon Valley, about 5 years behind New York, Silicon Valley, about to kick out. They're all going to be seeing that the taxi trade is a political football to kick around. And unless we have our own technological structure, we're really going to be up against it. Absolutely going to be up against it. And this doesn't cost anything. This is the offset of the card reader, and 1.5% makes £5 a week negligible. And anybody that's complaining about £5 a week, it isn't really the £5 you're concerned about. It's an excuse of some kind, because £5 a week, when it's negligible against the percentage on the card reader, is you know, I think it's a bit disingenuous. And why would you complain about that? The app has to be paid for.
With you know, in the 2 years that we've almost been together, you know, to actually achieve an ownership of our own app.
Oh, fantastic!
That,
yeah.
That goes out to every driver. It can't be sold. It's tied up in such a way that it can't be sold. It's not like anything that's anyone's ever experienced. We've just had Chris Johnson in here, and he's just disappeared. I think probably gone to the toilet. He's at that stage. But
what time of life?
Yes, exactly. but he normally doesn't make it to the toilet, by the way. But
it's involuntary. It's involuntary.
But you know, he's made it quite clear where the corporate apps are going. So as you so rightly said, Sean, this is about empowering our own industry again, and it's another way that we can actually win back what was ours in the first place. So drivers have to be very mindful that we're being isolated by the regulator, by the orgs and the association. So it's about us doing something for ourselves. So, you know, like I say, we own the app. And we've got the best deal for our drivers. You know, it shouldn't be through TaxiApp. It should be through the traders as a whole. We shouldn't have to be fighting this corner.
That's right.
It should be the trade doing it. But we need drivers to recognise that, and hopefully they'll start seeing it.
And I go back to the bad old days. Anytime when I say that, I mean the bad old day was better than a good day. But it's like, we're not going to. And you see people out there, and the thing is, they stand in front of us for 20 minutes, and they're not rejecting you. You're just not an option to them anymore, because we've filtered out the public consciousness because they're used to pre-booking. Now, apps are, they're like the phones, like computer games, they're addictive. And I must say, the apps are done like it's a computer game. It's done without intention. And fighting against that, I think the generation that did do pre-book, the Addison and Lee generation, say they are maturing. They are the ones now who are not considering us, because gone are the days when the father used to say, make sure you get a black cab home. It's not that generation. So we need to be out there technologically organised so they see we are competing, not just as if we are.
Absolutely. And you made a very valid point, Sean. Okay, so the thing that I was going to just come back to, we just had this discussion, as I say, with Chris Johnson, related to how the apps need to be realigned. The good thing about TaxiApp is it's the only one that actually plays by the rules.
It is,
so,
yeah.
You know, we've got a trade full of drivers that can actually say, look, we can secure the future of the trade through an app.
That's right.
And that way we can make other app technologies apply and adhere to the rules and the regulations. TfL can't argue with that. But if we don't actually do something about this app, then I think we're looking for more problems in the future.
I know, and you can smack people between the eyes with it. And when you do, you're called a militant. I know you've been. I can't think of anyone more. I mean, he's very active, very demonstrable. When he's out there, he makes his presence felt because he really supports what's going on. But I can't think of anybody who you would call militant as in the pejorative, because that's how militancy is described. Is it never? It's like when people say depressed is always used in the negative, unless it's a depressed poet. Poets are always depressed, and when it's used in the positive. But it's and that's negative. When you say someone's militant, it's looked on as extremism, which isn't good. And the big, you know, so the connotation that me, you, or even Chris might be militant is ridiculous. Defending your working rights, defending your working practices because they've been eroded for now years and never won anything, then I don't think that's militant at all. It's just defending, which, when it comes down to trade, defending our industry, defending tens of thousands of individuals and their families' livelihoods, you know?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I could look on Paul, because you would say he's a militant. He's like, because, you know what I mean? Because it's just, it is the natural thing to do, and that's not militancy. If you think it's militancy, you're buying into the principles of the elite that say you can't do this, you're holding London to ransom. You look at you holding Londoners to ransom. And then you got the working class, the other workers saying, yes, you are, you're holding us to ransom. You think you're working class, and then you go, right, it's off you next.
Well, do you remember you had the capitalist marches, didn't you, in May? Do you remember the capitalist marches in May? They haven't happened over the last couple of years. What's happened? Now, what's happened with the capitalist marches that we had? How did the government just remove these people that were just completely against this whole concept that, you know, corporate capitalisation is a bad thing for society, and then all of a sudden we don't see them no more? It's just, it's how the government and the elite actually project us, and people actually do start to believe it, don't they?
That's right. Well, it's wrapped up as nationalism, and nationalism good, and then you get, being arrested for... just talking, telling the truth and all that. You know what I mean? It's a bizarre world we live in, isn't it? Where bandits are given free rein. You've got terrorists on two bridges. And, you know, it all that just gets forgotten about. You've got the one on Exhibition Road. Let's forget about that. You know what I mean? But you go out there and start saying, my working rights. And then you're holding London to ransom and you're the enemy. That's exactly what Thatcher did in the miners' strike. Exactly what they're doing now. They were the last to know. They said certain collieries would be looked after. So they all went back to work and they said, look at you, the extremists are to blame. By 1984, they were all to blame. All of them were to blame. They were anti-democratic. They were all extremists, and they had to go. And that's how they'll convey the taxi trade. You'll be the antiquated ones. You'll be the one that doesn't want progress. You'll be the one that doesn't want cheaper fares. You'll be the one that doesn't want this progress where everybody's having this harmonious life, where it's like a fascist utopia, where you want to fracture that in this dinky little trade of yours.
Yeah, we'll be demonised.
You'll be demonised.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then it's all too late, isn't it? So you've got to do it now, and it's happening now. It's been happening for a while. Like we said, it's late in the day. Got to do something now. Otherwise, absolutely, we've got big problems. But we've been joined by the henchman.
The henchman himself.
The henchman. This is Adam Franco. He is looking after City Diesel at GSS for us tonight, and he's run a tight ship. He's run a really tight ship. How are you, Adam? How's it gone tonight?
Not bad yourself. Everything's all good.
It is all good, yeah. Have you got something to tell us?
Well, just a little reminder. I hope you lot are having a good evening. Just to keep you lot updated, I'm here at City Diesel in Suffolk Street. Don't be shy, come on round and get the best diesel rates, mates rates as well. We are open 24/7, 365, and you'll get a chance to meet me as well. I'm not really hench, I still need to lose a bit of weight.
Well, you know, I tell you what, you'll be seen as something different when you've lost the weight, not just the henchman. That's Adam Franco, and he's been a blinder.
Thank you, guys.
He has, he's worked a blinder tonight here at City Diesel at Great Suffolk Street. We're here once a month. We're a week late this week because I think, Myrna might have been drunk.
Yeah, I think
she's on the meths.
Always in August. She always goes on the meths in August.
It's just the meths, yeah. I go on the cider in August. Oh, cider. But the trouble is, this is August and it feels like autumn a little bit. Yeah. So it's like we were premature. That's what I say. Well, I used to be. I'm all right now, I'm older. But that's it. That's us done. We'll be back next week on a podcast. We'll be back second Monday of every month here at City Diesel. That's Great Suffolk Street. Failing coming down to see us because nobody's come down for their badges, their stickers tonight, but failing coming down to see us live, you can get hold of us at londontaxiradio.co.uk or even me at londontaxiradio.co.uk. That's Sean at londontaxiradio.co.uk. You can go over to the Facebook page, and why wouldn't you? You can like that. There's loads going on. Or Twitter at London Taxi Radio, or even my personal account at Sean Paul Day. That's about it. Be good to see you, though, wouldn't it? Come on down. Say hello. That's the second Monday. I will get it right. That's the second Monday of every month. Myrna Bourne, say goodbye, Myrna, because...
goodbye, everybody. The reason why we didn't do second Monday, because I was very ill.
Oh, she was ill. But why was she ill?
Was it the meths?
It was the meths. It was either the meths stall or the Fosters. Chris Johnson has just legged it. He can just quickly say goodbye. And we will try and get updates from Chris because it is a mightily important issue that everybody should be made aware of.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. last word is just come and support, please. We need support throughout the trade for this because this can't happen with just one person. It needs everyone supporting, or as many people as possible. And look, if you've been kicked off, challenge them. Drop me a DM on Twitter and become a co-claimant, and let's really really put these app companies to the sword that want to exploit people and want to kick people off apps for no reason.
Well, there's an offer you can't refuse. Become a co-claimant, and actually that would be good, and there might be crowdfunding in August, so look out for it. Because that's the way through. We are seemingly we are going to have to fund our future, because and rightly so, I think, and we need to collectively organise
and make sure we're able to do that. Because I think the one biggest disservice there is the crowdfund that didn't make it. I thought it highlighted a problem that the taxi trade couldn't come through in a way that it needed to come through at the time. Worse to have something like that fail as opposed to not doing anything at all. So I think we need to re-energise and get behind something like this, because it's significant, not just to you or me or our future, but the future of the cab trade. And all those going into the business now. And I would be aggrieved if I'd just done 4 years or 5 years and wasn't able to continue, because they made out it to come to a natural end, which is what they would do, wouldn't they? Can't happen. We won't let it happen. So get in touch, londontaxiradio.co.uk, and I'll see you out there on the mean streets.
This is London Taxi Radio. Get involved.
Taxi Radio, the station for London's taxi drivers.
I hear your accusations, darling, and my reply is hard to find. Ooh, I wanna know you better. Won't you consider one more?